Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you joining me again as we're diving back into Hebrews. We went a little bit yesterday on Hebrews chapter 1, which is funny because my plan was to start with Hebrews chapter 2, but then I read the little section that we read about Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Father. And as we discussed yesterday, you can go listen to our show yesterday. It's so important that we live from this place. Because again and again and again, what we see in the scriptures, what we see through the reality of the relationship that Jesus invites us into, and I think God is bringing us deeper into this with each and every day in this hour, in this time in history, is that, friends, we're living from a place of security. That no matter what's happening around us, remember, I don't know if you were with us when we talked about Ephesians 3, but this idea of being rooted and grounded in love, that no matter what's happening around us, we can be secure in Christ. We can be anchored in Him. And this is so much of the place of our security is not what I'm doing, not what's going on in the world, not what's happening in my family, not my circumstances, but the reality that Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, came to earth, died, defeated death, rose from the grave, baptized me into His death, and is going to raise me to new life. And here's the clincher that we talked about yesterday. Right now, He's not somewhere unknown. He's not like, oh no, this is such a mess. Your life is spinning out of control. How do we get it back? He's seated in glory at the right hand of His Father. He's secure on His throne, and you can have security because of that. And so I want to encourage you, like I did yesterday, choose to live from that place. Amen? Amen. So as we get started here, I want to go through a little bit of Psalm 38 as we pray, and then we're going to jump into Hebrews chapter 2. So if you'll join me in prayer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Your arrows have pierced me, and your hand has come down on me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. There is no soundness in my bones because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of heart. All my longings lie open before you, Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who want to kill me set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin. All day long, they scheme and lie. Lord, I wait for you, for you will answer. Lord, my God, for I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my feet slip. For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. Lord, do not forsake me. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly to help me, my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, you are near to the brokenhearted, to those who are downcast. And we just ask through this psalm, this is just a psalm lifting up our hearts in those places of sin, those places we have betrayed you, those places we have left you, Lord, and we lay our longings before you. We lay our sin before you. We lay our brokenness of heart before you. In any ways that we need to repent today, Lord Jesus, we repent in sincerity of heart. We ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is such a different kind of psalm, and we're going to begin to see these psalms from David as he pours out his heart and his guilt before the Lord. And I think this is just so beautiful. And me, as I'm reading this, I can relate to this of have you ever sinned, right? And felt, yes, obviously we've all sinned, but have you ever sinned and felt the weight of your own guilt and your own brokenness before the Lord of Lord, I'm feeling this way. I feel so low. My body is feeling the weight of my sin. But the part I want to point out is just in that verse where he says, all my longings lie open before you, Lord. And in the place of sin, I know for me, every time I sin, I'm sinning out of a longing or desire unfulfilled. And I think there's a way in which the Lord is inviting us in that place as we feel tempted, as we feel like we need to fulfill our desires and our longings for ourselves, to just lay our longings before the Lord, to just say that all my longings lie open before you, Lord. All my longing lies open before you. My sighing is not hidden from you. And to open our hearts before the Lord in that way. So maybe today that's your refrain. If your heart is twinging with unfulfilled love, with unfulfilled desire, anything like that, lay your heart open before the Lord. Lay it open before him and say, Lord, my longings are open before you. Amen. Amen. So as we're going on from Hebrews chapter 1, I want to jump a little bit to Hebrews chapter 2. And I'm going to read two little sections from Hebrews chapter 2, and then we're going to kind of tie them together. And this might continue as well into tomorrow. So Hebrews chapter 2 begins, it says, therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For if the message declared by angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? If it was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard him, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his own will. So what does this mean? You're like, okay, that doesn't mean anything to me as I'm reading this. So we began in chapter 1, and what we see in Hebrews chapter 1 is saying, he's saying God has made Jesus a little lower than the angels for a while. Jesus took on the stamp of human nature. He took on the stamp of human nature. God became man and he made purification for our sins. And then he picks up in two and says, therefore, and we know when Paul says therefore, he's meaning because of this, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard. What have we heard? What is he referring to there? He's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's writing to the Hebrews and he's saying, what have you heard? You've heard that Jesus Christ was made man, that he came and he made atonement for your sins. And he's saying, this was confirmed. This message, this gospel, and he says over and over again in different places, it's not a human message. It's a supernatural message. This message was even declared by the angels. And not only was it declared by the angels, it was declared first by the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And then it was attested to us by those who heard him. Then the disciples passed on this. The disciples who were walking and talking and living with him. Peter in the book of Acts is preaching this. He says, the one whom you killed, who you put to death, has made atonement for our sins and he's risen from the dead. So repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It was attested to us by those who heard him. And then God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's saying, this is how the message of the gospel has come. This is what has happened first. God brought this message himself. It was proclaimed by the Lord, this message that we hold on to, that we cling on to. What we have heard was declared first by the Lord. It was then attested to us by the disciples. And then that message was confirmed to us by signs and wonders. He's saying, this is why you should not drift. In a culture that's so strong, in a world that's trying to water down the gospel, that's trying to water down what you believe in, and go back to that first lie in the garden, did God really say? And so there's this confirmation, and this is beginning a pattern that we'll see in Hebrews where we hear, hold fast to what you've heard. Hold fast to what you've heard. This is how you begin to build endurance. Hold fast to the message of the gospel and do not compromise it and compromise its power in your life. Hold fast. Do not drift from this message. What's the message? Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, became man, was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified under Pontius Pilate, right? This is the faith that we believe. Died and rose again according to the scriptures, defeated sin and death, and is now gone to prepare a place for you. And in the meantime, he has given you power by the Holy Spirit to live a new way of life so that you can be with him forever in heaven. But now this life you now live is a life lived by faith in the Son of God who has given himself up for you. This is the message. Hold fast. Do not drift. And he's saying, why should you not drift? Because the message, the gospel, this is real. It's been given to you by God. It's been given to you by God. It's been tested by the disciples and it's been confirmed by signs and wonders. There's layers of how this message has been given to you. So do not drift. He continues on and says, for it was not to the angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that you are unmindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? Thou did make him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with honor and glory, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. This is an amazing little chunk, and we're going to have to get back to it tomorrow. But we're reading here, it says, this is the message that's been confirmed over and over and over again. And then I love this. It's not to the angels. And there's a lot of talk about angels so far in Hebrews 1, but it says, it's not to the angels that the world was subjected. The world hasn't been given over to the angels. He's saying, no, God became man. God didn't become an angel. God became man. And the Father chose to subject the world and the authority of the world and the saving of the world to Jesus Christ as a man. And so it's this amazing both and of saying, what is man? This psalm, this taking from the psalm, right? What is man that you are mindful of him? On one hand, it's this reality of saying you're so mindful of man that you've raised our dignity to such a level because you've made the only Son of God become a man. What is man that you think of him in this way? And you've crowned him with honor and glory, friends, because Jesus has been raised to the dignity of the only Son of God. Or he is the only Son of God. He raises our dignity as human beings as he's seated at the right hand of the Father, as we read in Hebrews chapter 1. And so as Paul's saying here, he's saying, because of this reality, hold fast. Do not drift. Do not drift. This is the anchor, who Jesus is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Everything has been subjected to him. The message can be trusted. It's real and true. It's been given by the Lord. It's been attested to by the disciples. It's been confirmed by signs and wonders. And so hold fast and do not drift. Join us again tomorrow as we continue in Hebrews chapter 2. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.